I'd like to share scripture with you from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. This is what it says. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. I believe we're to build people. If we build people, God will build his church. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give you something to think about, folks. Gates are stationary. Instead of the gates charging us, folks, we're supposed to be charging the gates. Amen? The gates shall not prevail. I receive motivation and leadership for messages at different places on different times. Barbara and I were eating in this place, and I did what I normally do. The young lady that was waiting on us, I asked her, I said, where do you go to church? And she said, well, I don't go to church. And then she said these words. She said, I used to go to your church. And when she said, I used to go to your church, of course, I responded by saying, well, why don't you go anymore? And she said, well, Pastor, I reached the age that my parents could no longer make me go to church. So when I was going to church, it was only because they were making me go to church. Now, here's what's interesting. 73% of Americans claim to be Christians. 73% of Americans say they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you realize today, folks, only one out of five who professes to be a Christian will actually come to church. Come to church. I've often said that there's people that only come to church three times. They come when they're christened, dedicated. They come when they get married. And they come when they die. I've often said they come when they're hatched, matched, or dispatched. Amen. Every time they come, they throw something on them. The first time they came, they threw water. The second time, they threw rice. And, of course, the last time, they'll throw dirt. And so they don't go to church. And I started researching this week, just quickly, the reasons given, the top reasons. I ran across the seven top reasons given why people don't attend church on Sunday, why physically they're not in a campus, they're not in a facility worshiping God. Reason number one is I'm too busy. I'm just too busy. And friend, all I'll say about that is God doesn't fit into your schedule. He's God. You don't compartmentalize God. He does give us the air in our lungs. You say, well, what does he control in my life anyway? Your next heartbeat. Yes, I'm just too busy. And this is all I'm going to say, folks. If you're too busy to be in the Lord's house, you need to change your schedule. You need to change your schedule. You say, well, I don't agree with you. Well, you're entitled to your own opinion, no matter how wrong it may be. But there was a second reason. There are too many hypocrites. Too many hypocrites. Now, that is so lame, folks. That is so lame. You know, can you imagine you walk into Longhorns and you got that good steak on your mind or whatever you're going to have, and you think, oh, no, they may be a hypocrite in here. I'm not eating. No one does that. You don't go into Walmart and say, I'm not going to purchase anything here. They're probably hypocrites in the store. No. No. People say to me, I'd come to your church, Pastor. You got too many hypocrites in your church. Come on down. A few more won't hurt anything. And then somebody said, well, Pastor, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody. Well, how are you going to get to know anybody if you don't come? The fourth reason given is I'll miss football. I'll miss football. And this is all I'm going to say, folks. That does not even deserve a response. Number five, I just don't feel like going. I don't feel like going. You know, the church is full of holy rollers. They roll over on Sunday morning, look at the clock, and roll back over. The sixth reason for not going to church is I think I'll just watch online. I'll watch online. Now, let me say something, folks. When we developed the streaming ministry, we developed that for people that could not attend a physical location. That was never developed so people could stay home and not attend church. Staying home and not attending church, it doesn't foster fellowship. That doesn't foster accountability. That doesn't foster worship. That doesn't foster care in your life. No, no. Let me tell you, online's wonderful. If you're on vacation, you're providentially hindered, you're sick. But it was never meant, I'll just stay home and stream. That's not pleasing to the Lord, by the way. If you're physically able, you need to attend the church, defend the church, extend the church. And then there was a seventh reason. I don't like the pastor's teaching. Well, you know, folks, there's subjects I'd rather teach on than other subjects. I'll be honest with you. There's things that I enjoy preaching about more than I enjoy preaching about other things. But here's the catcher. Do you realize, no, whatever we study in the Bible, it's still all the Bible? It's still the Bible, whether we're teaching Genesis, Leviticus, Revelation. It's still the Bible, and we need the Bible. Now, I agree with Bill Hybels. I agree with what Bill Hybels said. The hope of the world is the church. Bill Hybels said the hope of the world is not government. The hope of the world is not government. And this is what I'm going to say, folks, just on that point, I'll move on. The president was never meant to be your pastor. He's our commander-in-chief, or she's our commander-in-chief, but your president was never meant to be your pastor. So why would we look to the president to be our pastor? The hope of the world is not government, academia, business, but the church. Because it is the church that God has entrusted with a message of salvation, which truly changes people's hearts and lives. Now, as I begin to look at this subject of church and why we do it, I want us to see four quick things, and they're very elementary. But I believe they have the potential to change our lives. Why do we do church? What is the motive of the church, Pastor? Why do we gather here on Sunday? And here's what I want you to understand, folks. The motive of the church is to worship God. The motive of the church is to worship God. You know, sometimes we use praise and worship interchangeably. There's a lot of ways you can praise the Lord. You can praise the Lord by singing. You can praise the Lord by shouting. You can praise the Lord by lifting your hands in the air. Folks, I mean, this sounds bad coming from a Methodist preacher. But you can praise the Lord by dancing. You can praise the Lord. You can praise the Lord with musical instruments. But you know what I've learned? Also, you can praise others. You can praise people. You can praise your son. You can praise your daughter. Praise is interchangeably. But you know something? Worship is for God alone. It's for God alone. Because the Bible says in Luke 4:8, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Worship, ladies and gentlemen, is when I lose myself in the adoration of another. It's when I lose myself in the adoration of another. And you know what God is wanting today? According to John 14:23, more than anything, ladies and gentlemen, God is wanting and seeks true worshipers. True worshipers. When we lose ourselves inside of who he is. See, folks, when I go to talking about, I like this style of worship, and I like this type of worship leader, Friend, God's nowhere around that. Because I just made worship about me. I just made worship about my preference. And ladies and gentlemen, it'd be a great day in your life, and it'd be a great day in my life when we learn that worship is not about us. Worship is totally about Him. I think the brother was right when he said we need to get back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, God, it's all about you. I believe we need to get back to saying, Lord, I'm sorry for the thing I have made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you. Somebody said, well, this is in my life and that's in my life. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, let's don't let what's wrong with us keep us from worshiping what's right with God. It's all about Him. I've said to our worship team, let me tell you something. We live in a culture where they say you got to do everything you can to attract people. I'm not going to do everything I can to attract people. I'm going to do everything to design a service that it honors and glorifies God, that it exalts the Lord, because I know if I'll exalt Jesus, I will attract the Holy Spirit. And if we attract the Holy Spirit will attract the people. But the motive of worship has got to be to worship God and God alone. That's the motive of the church. We're gathered here, ladies and gentlemen, to worship God. But what's the message of the church? What is the message of the church? I'll tell you the message of the church. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. 1 Corinthians 2:1, Paul said, and I, brethren, when came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom. I could have written that. Declaring the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Billy Graham went to preach, and he was talking about what he was going to do in the crusade. And they said, oh, Dr. Graham, if we follow this service the way you want us to have service, we'll take evangelism back 100 years. Billy Graham said, I don't want to take it back 100 years. I want to take it back 2,000 years. I want to take evangelism back 2,000 years to the cross of Calvary. Oh, what is the motive of church? It's to worship God. That's why we've gathered here, Lord. What is the message? We're going to preach Christ and Him crucified. What is the mandate of the church? What is the mandate? Let me tell you, folks. The mandate of the church is this. We do not exist for ourselves. A church that exists for itself is dying. I want to give you a news flash today. It's not about us. It's not about those that are here. It's about those that are not here. And when the need, somebody, oh, Brother Benny, I want it to be like this and I want it to be like that. No. Folks, I want it to be, whosoever will, let them come. I want it to be no matter what is happening in their lives, no matter how bad they messed up, no matter how disarray their lives in, no matter what their economic status is, no matter what their sexual identity is, no matter what their race is, I want it to be whosoever will, let them come, because God loves all people. Can you imagine if you lost your charge card? You lost your charge card. Did you ever do that? Wake up the person beside you and ask him if he ever did it. Could you imagine? You lost your charge card. This is no big deal. You've got three more. Don't worry about it. You still got your American Express. You've still got your Visa. Well, who cares about the Discover charge card? You've got more. You'd say, Pastor, how ludicrous. Well, folks, sounds ludicrous, but we do it every day in the church. We got people lost on their way to hell, and we're more concerned about the charge cards that we still got. We're just taking care of the charge cards that we still got. You realize only 2% of people in the church, only 2% of the people in the church invite lost people, unchurched people to church. You said, well, we got some from First Baptist, and we got some from the Assemblies, and we got some from the Presbyterian Church. And oh, yeah, but that's not church growth, folks. That's just swapping sheep. It's just swapping sheep. And the problem with swapping all these sheep, you end up with some goats along the way. I mean, just. But when the needs of the lost become paramount, folks, when we really care about those people that are on their way to hell, that's what the church, that's the mandate. Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power. So, God, you've given me power in my life. Oh, I'm so excited. He's given me power. He's given me the Holy Spirit. And then I need to ask him, why? And he says, so you can be a witness. Now get this down, not a prosecuting attorney. See, a lot of them in the church, they're prosecuting attorneys. We don't smoke, we don't dip, we don't chew, we don't associate with any who do. They're prosecuting attorneys. No, he didn't call us to be prosecuting attorneys. He didn't call us to pass judgment. He called us to be witnesses. And you should be witnesses in Jerusalem. Where's Jerusalem? That's where they were at. In Judea, that's the country. And Samaria, that's the continent. Now, I need you to move fast on this, folks. This is no, we got to move fast, because for the sake of time, I need some things, and I need you to help me. I need some things, and I need you to help me. I need a $20 bill. I need a 20, and I'm also going to need a $10 bill. I need a $20 bill. Bring it up. As soon as you bring it, I need a $20 bill, and I'm going to need a $10 bill. I'm going to need a 20. I'm going to, yes, come on. That's you. Okay, 20. Yes, that's the way it goes. Okay, 20. That's it. I'll take them both. Need 20. 20. That's great. God bless you. Come on, brother. All right. Now, let me tell you, I need a lady's watch. I really need a lady's watch. Come on. Somebody, I need a lady's watch. Lady's watch. I need a lady's watch. Okay. Got a lady's watch. Oh, man, that's one of those Apple watches. I really like that Apple watch. Okay, I'll tell you what else I need. I need a compact. You know, put your little makeup, you know. Hey, listen, I did this. This is not exaggeration. I need a compact. I did this in the 8:30 service, and a man brought me one. I let Cameron run up and get it. But anyway, I need a compact. Come on, yes, that's it, compact. Somebody says it's sin for a lady to wear makeup. It ought to be sin for some not to. But anyway, all I can say is it's going to be a great day. Barbara's been wanting one of these Apple Watches. And her birthday's April the 4th. I've got it. This compact. Oh, Jay Henry's for lunch. It was going to be Burger King, but it's Jay Henry's now, I can tell you. It's going to be a great day. Now, here's what's amazing, folks. I never told one of you that I was going to give that back to you. Hey, she ain't the only one shouting. I am too, amen. I mean, I never told her one of you is going to give it back. But why'd you give it to me? I'll tell you why you gave it to me. Because I ask. Because I ask. I wonder how many people would come to church with us if we just ask them. I wonder how many people would be receptive to our faith if we just ask them, can we share our faith? I wonder what we would get, folks, if we would just ask. That's what we're to be about. See, the motive of the church is to worship God. The message of the church is the cross. The mandate of the church, it's others. But what is the method of the church? How should church operate? Here's how most churches operate. Let's hire a preacher. Let's hire staff. And we'll pay them to do the work that needs to be done. And folks, that's the antithesis. That's diametrically opposite of what the Bible teaches. You say, well, Pastor, what does it teach? Look at Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So God gives us pastors and teachers. What are pastors and teachers supposed to do for the perfecting of the saints? The pastors are supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so the body of Christ to be edified. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen. God's got a service for every one of us to do. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now I want to make two points, and I'm almost done. I want to make two points I want you to understand when I'm talking about serving. So you get this down. Giving is not about a church needing your money. Let me explain. If you said, Pastor Benny, I want to help out on the power bill, so I gave in the offering. Friend, keep it. That's the first time a preacher's ever going to tell you to keep it. Listen, you said, well, Brother Benny, I want to help pay your salary. No. If you're giving to help pay my salary, I'm asking you, please keep your money. We don't want it. See, I've never heard anything like this. Let me explain. Giving is not about any of that. Giving is about you acknowledging that everything you have is from God. And giving has nothing to do with money. Get that out of your head. Nothing. You say, well, it's got a small percent. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have anything to do with money. Tithing has nothing to do with money. According to the scripture, tithing has everything, according to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 and 23, it says, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord. Giving, ladies and gentlemen, has everything to do with teaching you that I can give to God, because how God blesses me is how I give to Him. And when I give to Him, God blesses me. And it's to teach us that we can trust God. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go on record as saying you can trust God. Listen, if you can't trust Him with your finances, you better not trust Him with your soul. You okay? Now, let me tell you something else. Serving, get this, I'm almost done. Thank you. Serving is not about there's work that needs to be done down at the church and they need help, so I'm going to serve. Listen, if that's your motivation, you can stay sitting on your blessed assurance. That is not what serving is about. Serving is about, ladies and gentlemen, You experiencing the rewards of serving. Service is about, you know, in Corinthians, it said this. I was reading it this week in 1 Corinthians 16 and 15. It says, addicted themselves to the ministry. Let me tell you something. If you've had an addiction, there's a greater addiction. It's when you're addicted to serving. There's no feeling like serving others. There's no feeling. Now think about this. Truett Cathy was my friend. Truett Cathy, I was with him the last Christmas he was alive. Truett Cathy taught the fifth grade boys at First Baptist Jonesboro. Now, he's a businessman. He was. I know he's not near as busy as you are in your business. About $7-8 billion a year, but I'm sure you do much more. Truett Cathy had time every Sunday to teach the fifth grade boys. Why? Because Truett Cathy understood something that a lot of people don't understand. There's something beyond success. I'm speaking to a ton of successful people. But there's something beyond success, folks. If all you experience is success, go buy another piece of land. Go get you another boat. Go get another degree. You can just build your success. Just build your success. But let me tell you something. There's something beyond success, and it's called significance. And you can't have significance in your life through just being consumed with success. The only way you can have significance in your life is through realizing God created me to serve. That's what the church is about. It's about serving other people. You say, Pastor Benny, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start. In the foyer today, as I bring this message to a close, we've got sign-up sheets all over that foyer. We've got all the ministries of the church. And we're encouraging you to get signed up. We're encouraging you to get signed up and start serving. You say, Brother Benny, what if I sign up for the wrong ministry? Well, if you realize it's the wrong ministry, quit there and find another. But nobody, folks, is saved just to come to church and occupy a pew. You're saved to serve. See, the motive of the church, we're here to worship God. I hear leaders say, I left my church and I left my ministry and boy, after I left, it really went way down. You know what that tells me? That leader built it on the wrong thing. That leader apparently was talking more about himself than he was about God. It's not about us. The motive of the church is to worship God. The message of the church is the cross. The mandate, we got to reach the unchurched. And the method is God's called all of us to serve. As our musicians are coming, what does Pastor Benny want from us? Pastor Benny wants the same thing that God wants. Pastor Benny wants the same thing that God wants. Two words. Rise up. God wants us to rise up and serve. He wants us to rise up and serve. Every one of us. You know what I believe, folks? And I'm done. I believe the devil doesn't want people to come to church because he knows they'll get help if they do. I think the devil will do anything to hinder you from coming to church. The devil will do anything, folks. He doesn't want you to come to church. He doesn't want you to be helped. You ever notice this? You get in a fuss many times on Sunday morning. Don't nobody drop your head. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. More distractions on Sunday than any other time. If that's true, would you just kind of say, yeah. This morning, Pastor Benny gets up early. I said, I got to go run. I get almost there and realize I'm going to run out of gas anytime. And there's no gas stations open. How am I going to get, I'm not going to make, what am I going to do? And I said, I know a shortcut through here. And there's a short, that's a short. No, this is wrong road. I got to turn around. And I'm backing my vehicle up. And I hear this. Oh my goodness, I backed over a mailbox. All the glass in the back of my vehicle's gone. I said, praise the Lord. No, I didn't. I finally got home. Barbara said, you just get ready. Get ready. I'll try to get some gas. Get ready. She goes. Thank you for helping me, Barbie. I'm so glad. I'm off to church now. I've got the message. The devil don't want me to preach his message, Barbara, does he? No, he don't, honey. He don't want you to preach his message. But I'm gone now, aren't I, babe? Yes, I am. Click, click, click. The battery's dead, Barbara. You know what I believe? I believe the devil will do anything to hinder us from being in church. He'll do anything and everything to hinder us, folks. Church, why we do it? It's the motive to worship God. It's the message, Christ. It's the mandate to reach others. Yes, we got to do it.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.